Then today, coming up in Dallas, an hour from now on Fox, England takes on Croatia in Group L play, while Ghana and Panama play in Group L in Toronto at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Fox Sports 1. Mexico City has the Group K matchup against Uzbekistan and Colombia at 10 Eastern. That's on FS1. Right now in Major League Baseball, Mets taking it to the Reds 9-1 in the ninth, while the Royals lead the Nats 6-2 in the sixth. Marlins on top of the Phils 10-4 in the sixth, while the Giants have a 5-2 lead on the Braves in the sixth inning. College Baseball World Series in Omaha, North Carolina leads West Virginia 5-1 as the Sides play in the top of the third in Omaha.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, nearly a billion pounds of plastic film mulch is used in American agriculture each year, and most of it dumped into landfills. But MorningAgClips.com reports new research from Washington State University shows recycling could be a feasible alternative. Researchers recycled plastic from strawberry farms in Washington, California, Nebraska, and Florida, and found soil contamination and moisture varied among regions. But if properly cleaned, they all produced mechanically sound recycled materials. Well, farm and food industry leaders told members of the House Ag Committee that renewing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is critical to the future of American agriculture and rural communities. During a hearing, representatives from commodity groups, dairy organizations, and the meat industry highlighted the USMCA's importance for agricultural exports and market stability. The agreement is scheduled for a formal review beginning July 1st. Well, the National Dairy Farmers Assuring Responsible Management Program has updated its secure milk supply plan designed to help dairy producers maintain operations during animal disease outbreaks while protecting herd health and the food supply. The revised plan expands beyond foot and mouth disease to address other contagious diseases like bird flu. Updates also include new resources for dairy farmers, cooperatives, and processors, along with revised movement permits covering raw milk for animal feed.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varley, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are wavering in afternoon trading following the Fed's decision on interest rates. As expected, the central bank will be holding its benchmark rate steady. New Fed Chair Kevin Warsh.
The committee decided to maintain the target range for the Fed funds rate at 3.5% to 3.75% in support of the Fed's dual mandate.
The Fed pausing for a fourth time after three consecutive rate cuts. Fed officials dropped language that had suggested that their next move would be to cut their key rate. And Kevin Warsh appointing a task force in five areas of monetary policy and said that each independent task force will have the best minds inside and outside the economics profession and be appointed by the Fed staff. Tech and industrials are among the best performers, while communication services and consumer staples are lagging. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Today, mind bogglers from the new wave of regulation. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Yesterday, I discussed a recent speech by Dr. Murray Wiedenbaum concerning a new wave of regulation that threatens to bankrupt small business and raise prices for American consumers. Dr. Wiedenbaum pointed out that small business is reeling under a mountain of paperwork and is finding it impossible to determine what it is the new regulators really want. But there are other problems as well. They stem from the narrow focus of each of the new agencies. Some of their mandates contradict not only a healthy economy and low prices, but each other. Since each of the new agencies cares only about its own legal role, the larger picture is invariably lost. For example, Dr. Wiedenbaum tells us the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, requires backup alarms on vehicles at construction sites. Nothing wrong with that. But then OSHA says the workers on those sites have to wear earplugs for protection against noise pollution, which means they can't hear those required alarms if they ring. Here's a single agency pursuing two worthy but contradictory goals. Which one does the small businessman choose to follow? Then there's the case of a woman who wants to legally wash her children's pajamas in New York State. Now that sounds like a pretty fundamental freedom, but the Consumer Product Safety Commission says the only way you can legally wash pajamas without washing out fireproof materials, which are required by that same commission, is to do so with phosphate detergents. But in 1973, in a move against water pollution, New York said it was illegal to use phosphate detergents. So, Mama has to choose between fire hazard to her child or committing an act of illegal laundry. The hidden costs of this new wave of regulation are immense. I've already mentioned the enormous cost of the paperwork alone. There's also the cost of the bureaucrats themselves, more than $63,000 at a cool $2 billion a year. And there's the cost to the public in the decline in new technological improvements. The longer it takes for a new product or invention to win government approval, the less chance that a business will ever find it advantageous to market the product or utilize the invention. This is already evident in the decline of new drugs and medicines because of Federal Drug Administration regulations. Most of all, these regulations increase the cost of producing a product to the point where often only big business can stay in the field. When a business has three or four employees and has as many forms to fill out as a firm with 3,000 or 4,000, you know who's going to go under. The result is less competition, bigger business, and higher prices. Dr. Wiedenbaum's conclusion on the new wave of regulation says it all. Quote, "No realistic evaluation of the practice of government regulation fits the notion of benign and wise officials making altogether sensible decisions in the society's greater interests. Instead, we find waste, bias, stupidity, concentration on trivia, conflicts among the regulators, and worst of all, arbitrary and uncontrolled power." Unquote. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. On this Thursday, I'm going to have Eric Gorm taking the show. He's going to start with Dan Dow. And there's been a lot of drama lately, so I think it's a good show. And then he's going to have the Cattlemen's Association on. It should be a very good show. I suggest you listen. And today, I'm going to be talking with Chris Bausch, our Paso Robles City Council member, and one of the only people on the council that fought for the public against paid parking when the rest of the council was standing together. Thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Glad to be here, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And I'm gonna give a couple. We're going to start talking about Paso Robles and local governments, but I want to bring up a number of things that are in the news right now. We have breaking news. Remember how we had the three offshore wind energy leases off the shore of Morro Bay? It's one of the biggest controversies in this county. About a month ago, the Trump administration made a settlement deal with one of the leaseholders. And that one was finished, and there were two leaseholders left. And today, earlier this morning, the Trump administration announced it had bought off one of the other. They made a settlement agreement, bought off the leases of the second one. Invenergy is no longer in the game anymore. So two of the leases off the shore of San Luis Obispo County have now been canceled. There is only one lease left. That is with Equinor. It is very unlikely one company can handle all the costs of onshore development. It was going to be primarily funded by taxpayers. This was not something the companies were going to fund. And remember, Trump started by taking away a lot of the taxpayer subsidies. So many of the projects were put on hold anyway. But now they have been canceled, two of them, and the third is very unlikely to go forward at this time. We also, yesterday, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors voted to restrict ice in the area. We will be talking about that with Chris and how this went down and what these resolutions really do. And actually, Chris, I think I'm going to start with that. I remember years ago when there was a lot of fiscal responsibility in government. So government went in to have a meeting, and they went quickly into the meat of the meeting. Nowadays, sometimes you'll have more than half of the meeting resolutions and proclamations. Oh, we're going to proclaim that this worker did a good job when they worked here, and let's celebrate this person. And let's do these resolutions. And every single election period, you have people saying, we need a resolution where I'm anti-ICE and we need a resolution against ICE. The election gets over. They instruct staff to do the resolution. They spend time arguing about it. And in this case, you had Heather Moreno out of Atascadero, the supervisor, and she was saying, this is symbolic. You're just spending money with staff time, and it's symbolic because we already have a state law that does some restrictions. And why in the world are you doing this? Pashan, our local John Pashan, was a little bit more, the sheriff's already controlled by, the acts by this, we call it the Sanctuary State Act. They don't do anything, but instead, everybody's broke. But I've noticed with the city of Paso Robles and the county and many of these districts, there's a huge amount of time patting each other on the back and doing resolutions. What do you think about all these resolutions and about ICE?
Well, I think we've already discussed ICE in the past. Our police department has a good handle on how to cooperate with ICE. I think the public, some of the public might want to see a resolution authorizing our city police department to stay away and not cooperate with ICE. But as you say, there are state laws already that preempt this. I believe Chief Nord is going to follow that spirit of the law and cooperate where necessary. As far as the resolutions and all the feel-good stuff, I think there was a time when government was looked upon as being very ivory tower, and we're so much higher above you. And the attempt to recognize and become involved in local events. We had a Juneteenth proclamation last night at City Council, for example. We recognize employee recognition and milestones. And I think that's important to build a sense of community. Are there better places to do that? Perhaps. Is it good to give recognition? Yes. Is it good to build community partnerships? Of course it is.
But as a taxpayer, the cost of those meetings with an attorney making hundreds of dollars an hour, you've got thousands of dollars being spent for a feel-good thing. That's the issue. And then staff time, they have to write these resolutions. Every bit of this is expensive while the roads aren't being fixed.
So the roads come out of a completely different budget. You know that. Roads have nothing to do with the cost of the resolution or preparing the resolution.
You can direct general, if you have extra funding, you can direct general funds to go. The cost of doing business with attorneys and things.
So if I was in private business, you're in private business, how do you create good PR for yourself? What's the cost of that? What's the ROI on generating good, positive press about yourself? I don't know that you can quantify that. It costs money to produce these resolutions. I agree with you. If it makes we'll have a resolution and we might have 100 people show up to participate in receiving that resolution. Sometimes you have one person showing up for that resolution, but the community can then feel good about it. Do we need, I think one or two resolutions per meeting is probably ample. Do we need five or six resolutions per meeting? No, because it makes for a very long evening. And as you say, the heart of the matter of the meeting gets delayed until past 10 o'clock. That becomes problematic.
And I will tell you, I've watched some of the, as we go into this feel good instead of government job. So, for example, there are a lot of allegations in the city of San Luis Obispo about illegal activity by the planning department and other people in government. And there were a lot of homes built that were not properly inspected. People are sick. People have lifelong illnesses now because of it. And you had the mayor on a radio show last week, or earlier this week, and someone called in to talk about it. And she goes, whoa, 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 that's not my job.
What is your job?
She explained. She literally said, I don't listen. That's not my job to look at what you're upset about. My job is cutting ribbons. That's the word she said. Cutting ribbons.
And you heard her say this.
And voting. It's still on. It's recorded. I went back and listened again. And she literally says, my job is cutting ribbons. And sometimes we do policy. But as for your issues of things illegally being done, that's not my issue. It was just absolutely stunning. And she's all about cutting ribbons and PR. I've watched the county. They used to have one PR person. They now have 16. 16 PR person, plus half the meeting is used on this. I bet you there's over $1 million, well over a million, maybe probably 3 million.
16 people, yeah, it's a lot more than $1 million.
It's well over a million, plus all the resolutions. Your job as government is to make sure it's to serve the people, not to say, look at me, I'm doing a good job. That's right. And I don't think you do that, but I'm telling you, I'm watching more and more of the public officials in the county talking about, you know, their job is social. Their job is to go to all the events and cut the ribbons and have the parties. And I'm at all the events.
Not to cast stones, but maybe it's misdirection. You know, so we don't look at all of the other not so good stuff that's happening. I think there's a balance, and I think it's up to elected officials to direct, in our case, our city manager, when things get out of hand, if it tilts too far in favor of feel-good motions and resolutions, it's up to city council to say, slow down there. You know, we need to get back to the business at hand. What is the people's business? This is what we're going to do. And what is that fine line? And how do you rein that in if it gets out of control? That's a good point.
And I have to ask you, we had with as many people know, there was a big fiasco with the paid parking. Ty Lewis wanted to step down. He wanted people to pay him to leave the city. There were lawsuits being thrown by people tied to Ty Lewis trying to get Ty Lewis a settlement. A lot of things happened. Now that you have a new city manager, the drama is gone. Are there a lot less lawsuits and legal issues with the city at this point?
I think you always have a certain amount of legal drama going on. I can think of several that are happening that have basically filled that vacuum. Do we have less personnel issues? Might be a better way to describe that. I believe that we have less personnel issues. You're always, again, we have hundreds of employees. You're always going to have some kind of a personnel issue of some sort going on. Those have to be taken seriously. That is not the city council's job. It is, you know, the city council has one employee, that's the city manager. The other employees work for the city manager, and if there's an employee issue, that should go through the proper channels, through supervisors, through HR, and to the city manager, if necessary. The amount of litigation, this is California, we're always going to have litigation, whether we're trying to get someone to comply with code enforcement. We passed weed abatement last night. I think last week we had 73 people that were out of compliance on weed abatement. Inspector Patty got that down to, I think, 17, he told us last night. That's amazing.
And that is commendable. In this day and age, weed abatement is massively important in proofing your homes. And I believe the city of Paso Robles, your fire department, they'll go out and they'll check homes. They go a step further. I've asked others. I talked to the fire chief in SLO, and they were like, oh, fire departments don't do that. And I said, well, they are in Paso Robles. So
we are blessed in Paso Robles between Chief Stornetta and, as I mentioned, Inspector Paul Patty. Amazing people. I don't want to take time to name them all. I should, but I don't have time. And same in the police department.
But that's not I don't consider that a legal fiasco. I believe that you've got to get people to comply, because if you have, I have seen you take 41 over the hill into toward the Moore Bay, up near the top, there was this one property of 10 acres that looked like a junkyard. And it caught on fire, and they couldn't get it out. I mean, it was literally looked like a junkyard. And it was a mess. And it had gotten away without, because of where it was located, way up there in the hill and everything else, without getting proper oversight. I believe what you're doing there. I don't look at that as a legal issue. I look at that as proactive to protect the community.
It's a compliance issue. It could very easily devolve into a legal issue. We had a citizen come by and say, I got this notice. I don't think it applies to me. I'm confused by it. Can I get some assistance with it? And our fire department responds well to those kinds of inquiries. I don't think it's something that we put off. But there are other land use issues. There are citizens that want to do something with their property and cannot. And so we have to send them cease and desist letters, for example. Those kinds of things that are handled in closed session that the public really doesn't get to hear about because it is pending in potential litigation.
Yes, and I haven't, I just haven't heard a lot of issues. I know all cities have some legal issues, but it makes a big difference. I see some cities where they have a $250,000 bill for their attorney, their contract attorney, and then I see others over $1 million. So it really does depend very often on how the city is run and what is going on. For example, Paso or Pismo was way up there. And you had issues. They built a slide. And they had it contracted with an engineering company and a local company. It was a concrete slide. When you got to the bottom, you could break your tailbone. They probably had 35 injuries. They have so many lawsuits over that. They had, around $1 million in legal bills because of they were told repeatedly, this thing is dangerous. Rather than just cutting it off, they waited and waited and waited. And I think you actually got a new person on the council. One of the first things he says, like, what in the world are we doing? Why haven't you closed that thing down yet? And they have all these legal actions going through the system because staff didn't do the right thing. And the council didn't do the right thing. They was complained, oh, but we got this beautiful slide going down into the beach. It was just handled very oddly.
I think there are times when staff wants to direct something, and rightly so. Legal gets involved and gives us directions. I think paid parking is a great example of that, where it was literally not handled correctly from the outset.
And by legal. Legal didn't handle it correctly.
They thought they were. And for whatever reason, instead of they did a resolution instead of an ordinance. And it's pretty clear once you dive deep into the matter. Someone asked, I believe it was Linda George asked last night, when do we get our refunds? And hats off to Linda for asking that question.
But you had issues around that time also with, for example, the city manager signing off on contracts and other things that he can't do on his own that requires a vote of the city council. And there were a number of things that legal should have stopped. But you have two jobs that you guys have oversight over, the city administrator and the city attorney.
Yes, we don't sign the contract of the city attorney. The city manager signs that.
You have to vote to approve it.
We do. I've asked for review of the contract. I've asked to go back. How do we even evaluate our city attorney? What's the criteria? I cannot get the rest of city council to agree with me that should be something that's brought back up. I'll ask the question again, and I'm sure it'll be deafening silence, and no one will want to try to examine our city attorney.
And I find that
interesting. It should be done periodically. Well, whether there's something good or bad happening, every position should be evaluated periodically.
And that's generally in the contracts, regular evaluations. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with City Councilman Chris Bauch.
usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, my name is Austin Streamland. At Slow Heating and Air, our passion for delivering exceptional quality and service never wavers. We're a family business serving our neighbors with honest service you can trust. We can help you fix, maintain, and install new heating and air conditioning systems.
And if another company says something big's broken,
call us for a second opinion.
805-423-5119. That's 805-423-5119. San Luis Obispo Heating and Air Conditioning, Inc., keeping you in the comfort zone.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Looking for a great indoor activity to get moving? Triuncleds Outfitters Indoor Archery for everyone 7 and over when accompanied by an adult. The new archery range is open 24 hours a day with unlimited access and coded entry for members. Uncle Ed's Outfitters would be happy to rent archery equipment or give you or the family a lesson from a USA Archery certified instructor. Book an hour or a day of indoor archery at Uncle Ed's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Oak Shopping Center in Atascadero near Guest House Grill.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesdays and Thursdays generally. And today I have Paso Robles Councilman Chris Bausch on the show. Chris, I want to ask you, how is the police department currently doing?
Well, I think really well. Chief Nord and staff have done a great job of recruitment, getting people to the academy. In this case, Allen Hancock College. I think they have a law enforcement academy. We just got word that 6 new officers graduated. That brings us with those 6, it brings us to 57 sworn officers. That's the largest sworn staffing component in the city's history. So that's a direct reflection of Measure J20, the half-cent sales tax. So I think that's important to realize that we are using that money where it was promised to be used. Not being siphoned off into the general fund and just disappearing. We're actually using it for safety personnel, both fire and for police officers.
And I will tell you, I'm going to talk about both. But I've noticed that it appears that crime rates are down, and they are down in some other cities that have come out with numbers. But I remember a couple years ago where you'd get about once a month there'd been a shooting over in certain neighborhoods. And this type of thing, it seems like there's a lot less going on. There doesn't seem to be a lot of crime. Do you think that's because of the amount of officers on the streets?
I'm sure that has a major component of it. But I also, just the relationships that our chief, our commanders have built. We added, besides the lieutenants, we added a new level corporal. So we're doing the right things to go out and be in and among the people with our police department, that has to have a positive impact. Just the presence, we see a lot more police cars driving around, whether we like it or not. There's a lot more motorcycle officers and traffic enforcement going on. I think that builds awareness. If you're a criminal, you're not going to stick around where you might get caught. You want to go someplace where it's a little easier picking. So, we keep talking about how many officers. City Council made that a priority a few years ago, and we've made good on that promise. And I think Chief Nord has made a really good effort. So hats off for making City Council look good and hiring more people.
And the other thing I've noticed, and I've noticed this as a reporter, so I'll play the scanner in the background, and I've been covering San Luis Obispo County for over 20 years. All the scanner going in the background, and you used to have a tiny fire start somewhere that would get big along the riverbed regularly in Paso, regularly. They now bring the goats in. They do a number of other things with the weed abatement. And you'll see a fire off the freeway or under the freeway over the pass or from a chain. And it's out before it's a fourth of an acre. Over and over and over again, I see these little fires that used to get big nipped in the bud. Have you noticed that also?
I don't listen to the scanner. We get notices of incident reports, and if we want to take advantage of that, our response time is down. I have noticed that, and so I think that parallels what you're observing as well, both in the police department and in the fire department.
Well, I've noticed a huge difference in the fires. Do you remember when you used to get some really bad fires along the riverbeds?
On a regular basis, yeah. The other thing, before I forget, the training center that we built out at the new fire station on Union up by Barney Schwartz Park, we should start seeing positive impact on fire insurance. Our ISO rating has gone down. So it's improved that as we come up on renewals, insurance renewals, we should start seeing that as a positive. Maybe not necessarily a rate reduction, but just the fact that insurance is being renewed. We're seeing a lot of in parts of other parts of California, insurance just isn't being renewed. You just get a cancellation.
And for those that don't remember, last year I had someone from the fire department here. And if you're at your home and your insurance is high or they're looking at losing insurance, they will come out and give you a fire safety check. And a lot of times it's fairly reasonable. Just clean out over here, move this. Screens, fire safety screens
on your
around your
soffits and eaves.
It makes a massive difference in your fire risk. You do that, and then you get a certificate saying that you've been fire safety. You may even be able to get your insurance down. And the city of Paso Robles, they provide these services. We're going to take our top of the hour break and be back with more with Chris Spausch.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.